Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad in it. And I'm grateful that you've joined us wherever you are in the world. I count it a privilege, a joy, a delight to have you. And I want to say happy Father's Day to all of the fathers all over the world. I pray that you are celebrated and honored, that you have meaningful relationships with your children. And it is my prayer that God gives you a great day. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be ministering today about how to make a father happy. I believe it is a powerful word for you, for your children in particular, and that they'll learn that it's not about the gifts, it's not about whatever they can give you, but it's about something much more significant that can bless a father and make a father happy. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
The glory, the honor, and all of the praise. We humble ourselves before you, Almighty God. You're a great God. There is none like you. None can compare. We give you glory and honor and thanks for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Thank you that you kept us all week long and brought us back to the house of prayer. We come this morning, Father, praying and interceding for each other, calling out each other's name. We're praying, God, that you would allow your perfect will to be done in my brother, my sister's life. Whatever it is that you have ordained on earth, in heaven, will become a reality in earth. That, Father, you would rebuke the hand of the enemy and bind Satan on every side. It's our prayer that your power, your spirit, would rule and reign in every arena of our lives. Father, we come today praying that whatever this person needs, whose name we call out, that you would meet their need, whatever it might be. Somebody needs a miracle. Somebody needs finances. Somebody needs healing. Whatever they need, Father, we pray that you would give them what they need every day. Father, we come acknowledging and confessing our sins and our failures and our where we have missed the mark. And we pray as we come that you would anoint us to share your word with power and under your anointing. Father, we pray today that some soul would get saved, some backslider reclaimed, some unchurched person would get reconnected in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray right now that you put a hedge of a shield around this place, rebuke every distracting of the enemy, and let the name of the Lord Jesus get all of the glory. Let his kingdom be established in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Now, Father, I pray, not only pray for the people in this facility, but I pray, Father, for those who join us through technology outside of these walls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, you can be seated. I want to take a moment and thank Pastor Sean McBride for taking ministry last Sunday. So today I'm going to give you what's called a topical message. I'm going to talk from a topic, so it's not going to be one section of scripture. It's going to be several scriptures. The way I normally say that is, this is a Bible study, and since you don't come to Bible study, I'm bringing Bible study to you. I thought about what my children could do to make me happy. I can tell you what I don't want them to do. Look at your neighbor, say he don't want no more ties. Go ahead, tell him. I don't want no more socks. I got enough drawers. Do I have any witnesses in here? Any? 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, those who got their hands down, get them the drawers, get them the socks. what could they do to make me happy? If I was going to title this message, that's what it would be. And I mentioned to you earlier that this is my first Father's Day without my father, but I can say to you that internally, I can say during the years of my father's life that based on my life, that he was happy with his, at least this son, he was happy with. And that puts a smile on my face that I can know that my father went to his grave being proud of at least one of his children. Come on, show me some love, y'all. Show me some love. I'm not speaking for the others. That's another story. And I found in Scripture some places that I just want to highlight for you three things that can make a father happy. And I can say this with boldness because that's what the Scripture says. It says that. So let me give you these three things and I'll be finished. Let's go to, matter of fact, all these verses, I made this easy for y'all. All these verses are in Proverbs. Because I know if I went to a whole bunch of other verses, y'all might not take y'all a while to find them. So they're all in Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. Let's start with chapter 1 and verse 8. And I'm just read a portion of the verse. And here's what it says. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Y'all see that? Slide down. Go to chapter 4, verse 1. So that's chapter 1, verse 8. And then chapter 4, verse 1 says, hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Jot this one down. You don't have to turn there, but just jot it down. 23:22. Proverbs 23:22. It says, listen to your father who begot you. And I put all of these things. Hear the instructions. Hear the instructions over and over again. Listen to your father. I put it under the tag of listen to your daddy. That's the first thing a child can do to make their father happy is listen to what he tells you. Amen. Thank all five of y'all for that rousing amen. Amen. That's what my children can do to make me happy. Listen to me. Because I know y'all's children. Y'all couldn't say amen to that point because y'all don't understand what it's like to have a child that don't listen to you. Don't be saying amen now. Why do y'all say amen when I was reading these scriptures right here? You know, because children get to a place in their life where they think they know more than their parents. And I want to put a tag, and I want to say to all people, children, give weight. Because I discovered, give weight to what your father tells you, because I discovered that the daddies up the street often have more influence than the daddy who pay for the food on your table and the roof over your head. I told my kids one time, they come home telling me about somebody else. I said, maybe you need to just gather your stuff and go live with them. Because heads for me in my house. We are abiding by biblical principles. Now, my kids have done stuff. I'm trying to get them to listen to me. And sometimes you just get tired. You're just like, my son Jimmy, I won't call him by name. Bought him a car. He got this car, but he comes across this deal where he can get this really nice, super fancy car real cheap. I say, Jimmy, something ain't right with that situation. But he goes on, buys a car. Now, there's one thing he did listen to me to. I wish he hadn't listened to me on this particular deal. This will make sense in a minute. And he bought the car, he paid cash for it. Yeah, I know y'all weren't going to say amen on that. And that I don't believe in debt. So in that regard, he kind of listened to me, so he paid that. So he got two cars. He can only drive one at a time. But he got two. So he's going to lunch or dinner one day with his friend. So he goes into the restaurant, comes back out, opening up the door, he gets in the car and he turns around and he is surrounded by police. Turns out the car was a stolen car. He didn't know. But I told that joker, something ain't right with this situation. And what do he say to the police? Hurry up and put me in the car if y'all going to arrest me. Because, you know, they had him handcuffed and everything. He said, just put me in the car before somebody sees me that knows my father. This has been a couple years ago. But he didn't listen to me. If he had just put some weight behind my warning to him. I had my daughter Sarah, when she was graduating from high school, and she was being recruited by all these schools to go play basketball, and it boiled down to Maryland and Georgetown. Her father said, go to Georgetown. Oh no, she wanted to go to Maryland. You know why she wanted to go to Maryland? Because at the time, Maryland was a party school. I know none of the 8 o'clock crowd know anything about a party school. She goes ahead, goes to Maryland, spends the year at Maryland. She can't wait to get out of Maryland. So at the end of the school year, she transferred out and went to Georgetown, where she went for the next 4 years. Why don't you just listen to your daddy? Because y'all do know fathers know best. Come on, holler. And that word, when it says listen, hear, it means give serious weight to it. Don't put it on the same. When you're talking to your friends and you're talking to your father, that advice is not on the same weight scale. Your father's counsel should carry much more weight than your friend's counsel. So that's number one. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, listen, listen. And all of my kids at some point thought they knew more than their parents and more than their father. He's old, his father, their daddy, old fogey, old timey. He don't know. His daddy don't know. You are such a wonderful child, what you said about your father. Can you lay your hands on all six of my kids? And transfer that anointing. This girl's only 13 years old, y'all. I'm proud of you. Now, your father didn't spoil you by giving you everything the same day. We need to have some counsel right here, boy. You gotta make him wait for a couple days, you know? So that's number one. Tell your neighbor, number one, listen. Here's number two. Let's go to Proverbs 10. Oh, let me tell you about another one of the things my children did. They didn't listen to me. When my youngest daughter, Natalie, was in college. She just graduated a year ago. I'm proud of her. So one weekend, she wants to go to New York with her friends. And her father said, don't think you need to do that. I didn't have a reason. I just didn't feel good about it. But you know the story. She went on to New York. Gets to New York and gets sick as a dog. Done paid the money, done got the hotel room, and can't stay. Gotta go back home, go back to school, because she's too sick to enjoy New York. Look at your child. Look at the people next to you and say, listen to your father. She She wasted all that money going somewhere that she didn't even get a chance to enjoy. Here's number two, Proverbs 10, verse 1. Here's what it says. A wise son makes a glad father. Somebody say, a wise son makes a glad father. If you're taking notes, jot right underneath of that another verse. I'm not going to turn to it because it says the exact same thing. Proverbs 15:20. It says, a wise son makes a father glad. Just jot that down next to it, 15:20. Now I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 5. Verse 1. It says, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding. Here's what makes a father happy is when a child learns how to think. And that's what wisdom means. It means you know how to look at life from God's perspective. And you got to learn how to think. I'm trying to teach my children in the decision-making process in life, learn how to think. It's not just about asking what my opinion is about it. I want you to learn the process of what my thought processes are about it. See, we have a generation that don't know how to think. Huh? And that's what wisdom means. Wisdom means I know how to process and think about things. I know how to look at it from a different perspective. Now, this is what's important. The world looks at things from a carnal standpoint. The world looks at it from a humanistic standpoint. What makes you happy? What's going to satisfy you? And thinking like the world thinks is going to get you in a whole lot of trouble. So when I talk to my kids, what I try to do is tell them, okay, let's think about this. Let's think about it. Let's look at it from a broader viewpoint, and that broader viewpoint is from God's perspective. In other words, I said, you know, when you choose a wife, you got to be looking at more. Huh? Because I want you to think with the right head. I'm trying to make. She might look fine, but King Girlfriend Cook. I didn't say nothing. She said, I can cook. I said, I didn't say nothing. I didn't say nothing. Yeah, can she clean house? I'm going down the list. Yeah, does she know about raising kids? Right? Do y'all get the point I'm making to you? And the ladies, y'all gotta think too before you marry some joker. Just. Here's what you need to find out. Whose name is on the car that he's driving? If it ain't in his name, that's telling you a whole lot right there. think. Somebody say think. Think about it. Do some research. Look at it from God's vantage point. We tell the couples that go through our premarital counseling, get a credit report on the person that you're about to marry. Y'all notice how the amens are getting lower and lower and lower? Because the credit report tells you a whole lot about a person's practices and how they think. Because if they just living for the right now, they charging every time they get an opportunity. They ching, ching, they charging, ching, ching. If all they think about is right now. Don't think about the consequences. They don't think about the future. They don't think about you got to pay, eventually you got to pay this bill. They don't think about that. That tells you, I'm up. I see right now I need to do some ministry on finances because y'all, I can tell the tension in the room. Y'all got quiet up in here. Y'all stop clapping. Oh yeah, I'm going to start a series on finances real soon. Y'all need to know. I try to teach my children how to think from God's vantage point. Here's number three, then I'll be finished. I'll leave y'all alone, let you go. I was waiting for somebody to say, take your time, but ain't nobody say nothing. Let's go to Proverbs 23, verse 24. We'll read just the first portion of that. Two, it says this. The father of the righteous will gladly rejoice. The father of the righteous will gladly rejoice. Here's what that means. It means that righteous means you do what's right in the eyes of God. So I've entitled that point, you can make your father proud by how you act, what you do. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Let me see. How can I say this? Because I'm about to say something that's going to create some tension. My children have some acts that they do that they think is okay. Yeah, they want me to show them a verse in the Bible. Yeah. And what I say to them, the Bible may not say, thou shalt not. But through stories in the Bible, and through scriptures, God gives you his attitude about it. Y'all hear what I'm saying to you? God reveals his attitude. And my posture is, God don't have to say thou shalt not for me to recognize that all through the scripture, he's given his heart about it, his ideas about it. But we live in a culture today, and my kids are a part of the culture today, that they want to see the verse. And some of you adults in here want to see the verse too. I'm doing the best that I can. When God reveals his attitude, why would I play around with something that God said is unwise? When I see examples of people who did it and there are consequences to it. Why would I want to play around? Go on and preach, Pastor Jenkins. Why would I want to play around with something that God said and he shows us in the scriptures? Yeah, I'm talking about drinking, and some of y'all drink too. Yes, you do. Why you say don't come over here? I felt something draw me right here.
drinking. Act right. Do what's right in the eyes of God. Be righteous in His eyes. Be righteous in the eyes of God. No matter who's looking, no matter what's going on, no matter what everybody else says, regardless of what the culture says. Because the culture keeps shifting. Today, it's okay to drink. And today, the next day, it's okay to smoke marijuana. The next day, it's going to be okay with opiates. And the next day, it's going to be okay with this and okay with that. And then after your life gets jacked up, you want to know how you got there. It always starts with something light and leads to something heavier. I want you to act right. Act righteously in the right standings with God. Not what the world says. Not what your friends say. Not what the celebrities of the day say. What does the Word of God say? What's God's attitude about it? I'm probably not gonna have no kids after today. They're gonna probably divorce me. You want to give me a gift? Put the bottle down. Who came here with their father today? Where you at? Who's here and you here with your father? Stand up. All of y'all that are here with your father. These are three gifts you can give to your daddy. Three things you can do to make him rejoice. These three things I just gave you. Listen to him. Give weight to what he tells you. Heavy weight. Think the way he thinks. Just don't ask him for the answers to whatever your dilemmas are. Try to understand his thought processes. That's wisdom. And then act righteously. Y'all can sit down. Thank you. I'm finished. Oh, I'm tired now. Just the first day. I need a drink. Coca-Cola is what gives me my buzz. Diet Coke, that does it for me. What gives you yours? Let me close with this. In Matthew's, I think, I'm not going to turn there, chapter 21, Jesus told a little parable. A father had two sons. And he said to one son, I want you to go and work in my vineyard. I want you to go work in my vineyard. And the son said, yes, Dad, I will. But he didn't. Then he had another son. He said, go work in my vineyard. He said, I ain't going.
But then he changed his mind and went. Then Jesus said, which one of them did the will of his father? And the answer to the question is the one who said he wouldn't, but he did. Y'all not hear what I'm saying to you. He regretted what he said. And when it did what his father asked. And I'm here today to tell you that the Father is asking you to get right with him. Amen. The Father is asking you right now to repent of how you've been living your life. The Heavenly Father is saying, give your heart to Jesus. Rededicate yourself. Recommit. Rejoin the church. You done drifted away from the church. You done been gone for months. This is the only organization you can be gone for years and come back and say, I'm still a member of this church. But I think it's important for you to rededicate your heart afresh to God. If that's you, get on up and come down here right now. Just say, you know what? That's me. God's speaking to me. I know Jesus will forgive me. He'll wash my slate clean. I want to invite you to come on. Get on up and come right now. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed. But say yes to the Lord. This is our time for backsliders and unsure people and unsaved who need forgiveness to come and say yes to God. Right now is that moment. Right now is that time. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed. Jesus Christ died on the cross. So if you haven't done the things you should have done, he will wipe your slate clean and forgive you. That's right. Praise the Lord. Next to you, are you right with God? Do you need to rededicate? Are you sure of your salvation? Do you have a church home? If you're already saved but you need a church home, right now, right this moment is the time for you to come. Right now, you say, you know what, I'm saved, I'm walking with God, but I want to join this church. This here is a great church for you to be a part of, a member of. This is a great church. Great church. While the blood is running warm in your veins and you have the activities of your limbs, this would be a great time for you to make the decision to come and say, you know what, yes, I want to be a member of this church. While we're waiting on you, let's say amen for these who've already come right now. Go ahead and sing that through one more time. I believe there's some others here today that God's calling them to come. I surrender. Holding nothing. With holding nothing. With holding nothing. instructions. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of the Lord, I thank you for every one of these persons. I know you know them each by name. And I want to pray today in Jesus' name that their hearts would be opened. They would be forgiven, planted, filled with your spirit, planted in your vineyard. You would accomplish in their lives, for the rest of their lives, what you've destined for them to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.